You had the test. We should learn, especially for Shem, for those who are injured from last night, and Elil Nishmas to all those who were killed, died last night. Okay, so the Gemara begins top of your test. The Gemara says Tanu Lalamdo Chafina. So we had that on yesterday's daf. The Kohen Gadol was taken to the base Aftinos, Lishchas base Aftinos, and he learned there Chafina. We'll learn Chafina is how the Kohen Gadol learns to scoop up the Ketores in his hands, and he ends up sprinkling it over the coals when he gets to the Kodesh Kodashim. So that was the process that he had learned in the Lishchas base Aftinos. So now, at the end of the day, the Kohen Gadol had two Lishchas. One was Lishchas Parhedrin, which is where he stayed, and another Lishchas Aftinos is where the Kohen Gadol would go to learn the Ketores. The Gemara now points out, Amar Papa, Shtei Lishchos Hayulo, the Kohen Gadol, he had two. Achas lishchas parhedrin, v'achas lishchas beis avtinos. Achas b'tzafon, v'achas b'darm. One was in the north, one was in the south. So the Gemara says, achas b'tzafon, how do we know that one was in the north? Now, I'll tell you the end. We're not going to know which one was the north, which one was in the south. We're going to figure that out at the end, hopefully. But either way, we're going to learn one is in the north, and one of them is in the south. So how do we know that one was in the north? Tetzan, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Midos, Shisha lishchos hayu ba'azara. There are six different lishchos, six different chambers in the Azara. Shloshe b'tzafon, shloshe b'darm. Three were in the north, three were in the south. Shebedarom, the south, the three were lishchas hamelach, lishchas haparva, lishchas mahedichin. We're going to learn which each one serves as. Lishchas hamelach, what was in the salt, the chamber of salt? That was shesham hayu nosin melach lekarbon. That's where they had stored the salt, a place of salt for the karbanos. Every carbon required salt, the pasuk says. Lishchas haparva, what was that? Shesham hayu molchin oros kadshim. That's where they would salt the skin, the hide. V'al gag on the rooftop of the lishchas haparva, hayu sa base atfila kohen gadol b'yom hakipurim. That's where the kohen gadol would dip in the mikvah. Lishchas hamadichin, sham hayu madichin kirbe kadshe the kadashim. They would wash out to clean the insides of the various karbanos. Umisham, from there, there is a mesiba, which is, it seems like a circular staircase, that would be olu legag beis haparva. From there, you'd access the rooftop of the adjacent lishcha, lishchas beis haparva. So those are the three that were at the north of the Azara. So then the Gemara says further, gimel shebetzafon, now that's rather the three in the south. The three in the north, shlosha shebetzafon, lishchas ha'etz, lishchas ha'gola, lishchas ha'gazis. What were these three? Lishchas ha'etz, am Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov shechachti ma ha'isa mishameshes. I forgot what it was used for. Okay, they forgot, so we certainly could forget things. So he forgot what it was for. Some say it was a lishcha that was made of eitz, it was made of wood. Not sure the function, but some say it was made of eitz. That leads to a series of questions because there's a din that you're not allowed to build anything from the eitz in the base of Mikdash. So the Raavad and others ask a question, how can you have a lishcha made of eitz? So some say, no, it wasn't made of eitz. It was called eitz for some other reason. But the Raavad felt that no, there is a. It was made of eitz, and how is it allowed? So he answers in on the Rambam in Hilchos Beis Bechira. He explains that the issur of making something from eitz only had to do with from the point of the mizbeach and inside further. But Ezes Nashim and beyond outside, that was actually allowed to have that which is built of eitz. One of the rais, I don't think he brings here, but maybe the rai in Maseches Tamid, he says, how are you able to build wood when it came to the mitzvah hakel? Mitzvah hakel, the year after Shemitah, every 7 years, they had built a little platform for the king to stand and read the psukim of various parts of Mishnah Torah. So they point out that was not in the Azara proper. You're allowed to build wood outside. Another question they ask is, they would build these wooden towers, I think it says, for the Nashim, for the Simchas Beis Shoeva. How could it be? It made of eight. So one of the answers is, it was not in the Azara proper. It was outside the Ezes Nashim, and that is all allowed. So that's one shot. It was somehow made of eight, but no one knows exactly what the purpose of the Lishchas Eitz was. So then the Gemara says, Abba Shol Omer, Lishchas Kohen Gadol, Haisa Achorei Shteyem. So this Lishchas Kohen Gadol, which we're referring to right now, one of the two Lishchos, either the Lishchas Beis Avtinos or Lishchas Parhedrin, it was situated behind these two Lishchos. Which two Lishchos? Rashi says it was behind the Lishchas HaGola and the Lishchas HaGazes, which we haven't yet described what they were. V'gag Shloshan Shavos, the rooftop of all three of the Lishchas Kohen Gadol, Lishchas Gazes, Lishchas Gadol had a rooftop that was even. They were all shared the same rooftop, or they were all connected. And what was the function of Lishchas Hagola? So that the Gemara says, or the Mishnah says, Lishchas Hagola, Sham Haya Bor Hagola. There was a well that was used for the Gola. Vagalga Nasan Alava. There's some type of covering on top of it. Umisham, from there, Maspik and Mayim Lechol Azara. That's where they would use the water to clean out to wash out the Azara. Why is it called Lishchas Hagola? Rashi says in the top here, two narrow lines down, Lishchas Hagola, Al Shem Bor, Shekarusham Ole Gola. Those who are traveling the Lila Regel, rather Ole Gola, where they're going actually to Golas, they had apparently dug such a pit, so somehow having to do with that. But that was the pit that was used, the well was used to wash out the Azara. And then Lishchas Hagazis, Sham HaYisah Sanhedrin, She Yisrael Yoshevis, that's where Sanhedrin would sit. Vidana as a Kohanim, they would judge the Kohanim, Umishinimsa Bopsul, they would see, they would check the Yichas, the Shtar Yuchsin of each of the Kohanim to see if they have good Yichas or not good Yichas. If it turns out the Kohen was a puzzle, Hayalovish Shcharm, he would dress in black, Misatev Shcharm, he would wrap himself in black, Vyasav Halachlo, and he'd walk out as a puzzle Kohen. Vishalodnimsa puzzle, those who did not have a psul, rather they were kosher, Hayalovish Levarim, he would wear white clothing, Misatev, and he wrapped himself in white clothing, he would be allowed entry into the base of Mikdash and serve alongside the other Kohanim. So why was this place called Lishchas HaGazus? So the Ritva gives two explanations. One explanation is because Gazus is a lashon to decide. It decided who was a kasher and who was pasul. That was one pshat in the Ritva. The other pshat the Ritva says is because they actually used avanim that were gazus, that were cut, that were shaved, that were molded. So even though there's an issur to use avnei gazus by the mizbeach, you can't use rocks that were formed and cut down. That was only true of the mizbeach, but other parts you were allowed to. So apparently this lishcha, for whatever reason, was made of these rocks that were in fact carved. So now the Mishnah says further. So that's the end of the Mishnah. We see from this one of the lishchas kohen gadol was in the north. That's one. We don't know which one though. Now, turning the Achas Bidarum, the one that appeared in the south, the other Lishchas Kohen Gadol was in the south. The Tzan, the Mishnah tells us, this is also in Meseches Midos. It says, Shiva Sha'arim Hayu Bazara. There are seven gates. Before we describe the different Lishchos, the chambers, these are gates. So there are seven gates in the Azara. Shloshe B'Tzafon, V'Shloshe B'Darum, V'Echad B'Mizrach. Three in the north, three in the south, and one in the east. She B'Darum, the three southern gates, Shar HaDlaka, was the Shar HaDlaka, Shenila, the second one was Shar HaKarban, and Shlishila, the second one was Shar HaMayim. So what were the functions of each of these? The Rashi says he doesn't know what the reason we call Shar Laka, Shar Karban. He's not sure the explanation for that. But Shar Mayim, Rashi says, that was the gate in which they would go through that gate and come back through that gate when they brought the Nisach HaMayim. Every single day of Sukkot, they'd have to fetch some water from a spring that was down below near the Har Bayis. So they'd go down, draw some water, and they'd go through the Shar Mayim to bring the Nisach HaMayim that would ultimately be poured on the side of the Mizbeach during the 7 days of the Sukkot. So that's the first three on the south. Then the Mishnah says, Sheb Mizrach, the eastern gate, there was only one gate, that was Shahar Niknar, that was the main entranceway, that's called Shahar Niknar. We'll see why later on, I think maybe the third parak, why it's called Shahar Niknar. Shteish Lishchos Hayu Sham, and there are two chambers aside the Shahar HaNiknar, the main entrance in the east. Achas B'Yamino, Achas B'Smal, one was to the right, one was to the left of the Shahar Niknar. The Achas Lishchos Pinchas HaMilabesh, one was called that. Rashi doesn't explain why. V'yachas lishchas oseh chavitim, the one to the left, or one of them, was where they'd make the chavitim, the different types of menachos for the karbanos. Now, Shebetzof, on the northern three gates, Shar Nitzotz was a one which had a binyan achsaja, which had an achsaja, which was an open walled area, haya, v'aliyah benuya lo agabav, and there was a second floor on top of this. And Sham Kohanim Shomrim Milamala Milavim Milamata. These are where there are many different, there are 24 positions where Kohanim Levim would guard the base of Mikdash. So this was one of the places where the Kohanim would stand on top of the second floor. Levim would be on the bottom floor to guard the base of Mikdash. Shilafnim Heimanu, inside this area where this Lishcha was, or this gate was, there was the little fence that went around the Har Bayis. Shenilo, the second gate, was Shahar Karbon, Bishlishilo, Shahar Beis Hamukad. Beis Hamukad is described, we had this, there are four different lishchos in this gate leading to Beis Hamukad. V'tanya, they said, Chomesh Trilos V'asara Kiddushim Tova Kohen Gadol Mekadesh Boba Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol would dip five times, and before and after each dipping, he would actually wash his hands, so that's two, accompanying each tefillah, so there are 10 times he'd wash his hands and feet. And the Kulam Bakodesh Agag Besa Parva, all them was in a mikvah that was a Besa Parva, which you mentioned above. The mikvah on top there, that was a mikvah in the Besa Mikdash proper. Chutz mizo, except for the first time, Shahisa Bechol. This mikvah that was right here on Beis HaMukad was in a Chol area, not in a Kodesh area. It was on the Beis Shar HaMayim. Ubetad Lishchaso Haisa, right near there was where the Lishcha was. So in other words, we're going to see later on in Daf, I don't know which Daf it is, but the Kohen Gadol, before he entered into the Beis HaMikdash, you'd have to go to the mikvah one time. Everybody who went in had to go to the mikvah. That was in Chol. Once you made it into the Beis HaMikdash, then all the other tefillahs were in this other mikvah that was in Kodesh. So where was this mikvah of Chol found? It was found on top of the Shar Mayim, and right next to Shar Mayim was the Lishcha of the Kohen Gadol. Where was that? In the south. So the first Mishnah of the Maseches Tamid told us there was a Lishcha in the north. This one's telling us there's a Lishcha in the south, so we see that they're two different Lishchas. So now the question is, well, which Lishcha? Was it Lishchas Parhedrin or Lishchas Beis Avtinas? Which was the north, which was to the south? So the Gemara asks this question. V'lo yadana, we don't know. E Lishchas Parhedrin b'tzafon v'lishchas Beis Avtinas b'darum. O Lishchas Beis Avtinas b'tzafon v'lishchas Parhedrin b'darum. U mistaver, the Gemara suggests, it makes the most sense. The Lishchas Parhedrin b'darum havei. It was in the south. Why? The Lishchas Parhedrin, which is where the Kohen Gadol would stay for 7 days, Shivas Yimei Prisha, it must have been in the south. Why? Because life was easier for him that way. How was it easier? So Gemara says, my time, maktim kayu meiseches raglav. So what would happen? He'd wake up in the morning and he'd go to the bathroom first. So that was in the south. That's where he stayed. That's where Lishchas Parhedrin was. The Tavla, he'd go to the mikvah, because the mikvah here also was at the south. This was where the mikvah in the morning of the Chol was in Shar Mayim, that was in the south. So he'd wake up, go to the bathroom, and be the mikvah. That would all take place in the south. The Azal itself, and then he'd go to the north. Why did he go to the north? Because that's where Lishchas Beis Parhedrin, where the Beis Avtinas was, the Gamer Chavina. He'd learn the Lachas of Chavina. This would take place every single day of Shivas Yimei Prisha. He'd start from the morning, he'd go to the in the south, go to the north to learn the halachas of Torahs, and then ask the Beis Hamikdash. Then he go to the Beis Hamikdash itself. He'd avod avoda all the kula yoma and the bahadei panya. When the day would come to an end, when the sun would begin to set, madei aleh, he would have the zrikas mechatas. Remember, he had sprinkled his the mechatas every single day of the 7 days of Prisha. They'd sprinkle on top of mechatas. Bahadei also ladarm. He'd go back down to the south, the tarbel. That's where the mikvah was. V'naich and go to sleep. So not so many running around. So they want to make life easy for the Kohen Gadol. Because if you say the opposite, the Amris, if you're going to say that Lishchas Parhedrin was in Bitzafon in the north, so now look what happens. It's a much more traveling around. Makdim, he wake up in the morning in the north. Kayi, he wake up. Umesech Raglav, he go to the bathroom. V'yazel Adam, then he has to go to the south, because that's where the mikveh was. He go to the south with Tavel. Then V'gamer Chafina, then you have to go learn Chafina, because right now, in this case, the Beis Avtinas is in the south. So he goes to the mikveh in the south, learns the lachas of Chafina and the Beis Avtinas in the south. V'yas the Beis Hamikdash, then he go to the Beis Hamikdash itself. Avid avoda kol yom, do the avoda all day. L'hadei panya, when the sun would begin to set, madi aleh, they'd sprinkle mechadas on him. V'hadei azal adam, he had to go back to the south a second time. V'tava go to the mikvah. By mahadah, then he's got to travel, umeitel atav, he's got to go walk all the way to the north another time, a few extra trips back and forth. Do we want to exhaust the Kohen Gadol so much in the 7 days of preparation? We don't want to do it. We want to make life easier for him, and therefore it's a much smoother trip, a much smoother day, if the Beis Avtinas is in the north and the Lishchas Parhedrin's in the south. So Gemara says, Alam Allah, Matrichin Lilay Tfei. Why don't we want it? We actually do want to make his life difficult. We want to discourage him from doing the wrong thing, but make him walk back and forth and we tire him out. Just like by the Sota case. Remember the Halach of the Sota? We're taking her this place and that place and this place and that place. We want her to admit what she's doing wrong. So here's what we want him to admit. If he's a Tzaduki and we're schlepping him here, schlepping him there, he's schwitzing, maybe he'll admit he's a Tzaduki. The Tzaduki Avel Lifrosh. Perhaps if the guy's a Tzaduki, this might discourage him from going ahead to do the Halachas. Maybe we want it to be as far apart as possible. Or inami, alternatively, shall tazuach die to Allah. We also don't want the Kohen Gadol to be so arrogant that he's the Kohen Gadol, so we want to make him slap around, make him tired. You have to work for this position. That gets given to you. You need to work here. So di lo temahachi, because if you don't say this, that if you don't say this reason, I mean, the reason is we want to make him humbled. Why do we want to humble him? Because navdinu l'tabayu b'hadeh hadadeh. Why did they not make the Lishchas Parhedrin and Lishchas place Haftiras right next to each other. They could have made them next to each other, make life very easy for him. It goes back and forth from one room to the next room. Or Ni'inami, Tiskele Bechader, or maybe have it all being done in one room. He'll live in Lishcha's Parhejin. He'll also learn the Lachas of Ketors in that same Lishcha. Why make two? And why make two so far apart from each other? It must be there's an underlying reason here, so he doesn't become so arrogant that he's a Kohen Gadol, and that's why we separate it, or so in order to discourage him, if in fact he's a tzaduki. And for that reason, the Gemara concludes, seems to conclude, but still not 100%, but it seems to favor that the Lishchas Parhedrin was in the north, and the Lishchas Beis Aptinos was in the south, to make him schlep all day. So now the Gemara says, last three lines, the Gemara says, Amru lo ishi kohen gadol. So we said that when he goes to the Ziknei, we give him the Ziknei Kuhuna, they say you have to make a Shvua. And they say to him in the Lashon HaShvua that you are our Shliach, right? You are representing us, the Kohen Gadol, you're representing the people. So Gemara says, wait a second, that's pretty interesting. Because Lema, last three lines, Lema, Tene Tiyufta Rav Huna Braid Yav Yeshua. Let's suggest that this is a stira, this is a contradiction to that which Rav Huna held. What did he hold? The Amar Rav Huna Braid Yav Yeshua, Hani Kahani Shluchai Drachmananinu. There's a big machlokas, Gemara Nedarim and Gemara Kedushin, that has the question, are Kohanim representing the people, or are they representing a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Who are they agents for? So he assumed that they must be agents of Rachmanin. They must be the agents of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why? What was his reasoning that they were Shluchei di Rachmaninu? Because di Amr Shluchei di Doninu, if you say that they are our representatives, that they are our Shluchim, our agents, the problem with that in terms of Shlichos, mi ikamidi de onan lo matinan lemevad. Vishluchei di don matzi abdi. Is it possible something that I myself can't do, but I can appoint a shliach to do? Let me give you an example to appreciate this more. There's an interesting gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Chav Zayin or so, where it talks about Tzipora gave a bris milah to her son. Moshe Beno was being swallowed by the snake, and she realized that it was because they didn't give their son a bris milah, so she went ahead and get a bris milah. Gemara says, how could a woman get a bris milah? No, she appointed a shliach. So there, the Rishon asked the question, how could she appoint a shliach? Anything that you yourself can't do, I can appoint a shliach to represent me. So if Tzipora, who's a woman, can't do the milah, how could she appoint a shliach to do a milah? So if I can't do a carbon, I can't do the, as a non-kohen, as a czar, I can't do Kabbalah, I can't do Halacha, I can't do Zuka. So how could I appoint a shliach to be my shluch shaladam kamosa, like me, if I myself can't do it? So for that reason, he says it must be that they're not our shluchim, they must be shluchei derachmana. That's how he concludes. So the problem here is, so our Gemara, the Mishnah says, that the Kohanim say to the Kohen Gadol that you are our shliach, the shliach of the people, not the shluchim of rachmana. So that's the kasha on Rav Huna. And the Gemara says, again, is there anything? The honor lo matino meva, that we ourselves can't do, but shlucha didan matzu avdu, but we can appoint the shliach. And therefore, again, Rav Huna concludes that the Kohanim are shluchei d'rachmaninu against our Mishnah. The Gemara says, no. Our Mishnah, even though the Kohanim say that you're our shliach, they don't really mean that you're a shliach. All they mean is you have to answer our shvua to what we're saying in terms of the terminology of the shvua, but not that you're our formal shliach. So the Gemara explains, Halchi kamrilei. Mashubian anu alecha, we're making you make a shvua al datenu v'al das beis din. Based on what we're telling you, not that you're our shliach, but you have to listen to the words our shvua. Look how Rashi says on the top here. Rashi says, "Hachi kamrilei, haide kamrilei ati shlucheinu." That which the Kohanim say to the Kohen Gadol that you are our shliach, lav ba'avoda kamrilei. Not in terms of the avoda that you're our agents. Ela linen kabbalas hashvua. Only with respect to accepting the shvua. Kolomer, in other words, lo lefi machshava shebelivcha. Not according to what you think in your mind, in your heart. In Basa Laharim, you're going to try to trick us to Kabbalah Shua. Ani Mashpino Tzcha, we are making you take a Shua based on Lefi Datenu, V'das Bezdin. Nothing to do with Shlichas at all here. The word Shliach is used, but not meant to be taken literally. And that's how the Gemara concludes. Now, there is an interesting tosis here. We're not going to go through inside, but in terms of the question of whether Shluchei D'Rachmaninu or Shlucha Didan or our Shluchim, he ends up concluding that everyone assumes that they are certainly Shluchei D'Rachmaninu. The question when the Gemara raises that question is it's also Shlucha Didan. But everybody assumes, says that it's a given, that they certainly call him, definitely represent the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but there's just a secondary question, are they also representing us at the same time, or are they not? So now the Gemara says, we are four lines down on Yud Testament Beis, at the two dots, the Gemara says, who parish, after they made him make a shvua, that he's not going to do anything wrong in terms of the Ketores, who parish ebocha, he would cry, v'hein parish ebocha, and they would separate, and the other Kohanim would cry as well.
Who parish Baruch Hu? Why would he cry? Shechashdu tzeduki, because he was. They suspected him of being a tzeduki, not a high compliment. No one wants that, so he cries because they think he's a tzeduki. They don't trust him as being a Talmud Chacham. The Haim portion and the Zikne Kahuna would turn around and they'd cry Bochen. Dam Rabbi Shub and Levi call Choshed B'Ksheirim Loke B'Gufo. Gemara Brachas as well. Those who suspect someone else of being wrong when they're really right, when they did nothing wrong, they're Loke B'Gufo. They're going to get punished somehow. The Cholkach Lama, why? Why they have to go to such extent to make them make a Shvua, as we know already. Shlo Yisakein Mi B'Chutz. Because the way Tzedukim would do the Ketores, they would actually mix the Ketores with the Gechalim, with the coals out of the Kedushim, and then bring it in that way, which is against what we say to do, is only mix it while inside the Kodesh Kedushim in the presence of the Aram. So the Gemara says, there's a Maisa one time, Tanya Rabbanim, B'Maisa B'Tzeduki Echad, Shehiskin Mibuchutz, V'Hichnis B'Tziyaso. One time a Tzeduki was appointed to be Kohen Gadol, I assume he paid for it by Sheni, so he paid for it, and he went inside, he fixed it first outside, it was Masakin outside, and brought in just the way that Tzedukim felt. Hayasamech, Simcha Gdol, he was so happy, finally, he was able to be the first Kohen Gadol to do it this way, because he thought he was really right. Pogba Aviv, afterwards, he had met his father, Amalo Bini, Afa Pisha Tzedukim Anu, even though we're Tzedukim, I see you're very happy, and you must have been Masakin B'chutz, nonetheless, Mis Yarm Anu Mina Prushim, we're scared of the Prushim, we're scared of the real rabbis. So Amar Lo, he tells his father, Koyamai Hayisim et Stara Mikrazel. He's always bothered by this pasuk. And Ki Be'enon Arel Kaparis, it says that the reason why Tzedukim learned this way, if you read the pasuk literally, it says, Ki Be'enon, within the cloud, Eira El Kaparis, you should present yourself in front of the Kaparis with the cloud already existing, not to first come to the Kaparis and then make the cloud. It implies the cloud comes before entering in the presence of the Kaparis. So I was bothered by the pasuk my whole life. And Marty said, "Masa yavo liyadi. When I have the opportunity, v'kaimenu, and fulfill this pasuk, achshav shabal liyadi. Now the opportunity presents itself to me. Lo akimenu, I won't fulfill it." So Amri, they said, "Lo hayu yavam mutum. There were not many days that passed at Shemes until he died. V'hutal ba'ashrei, who's thrown in the garbage. This stuki v'yatolan yotam michodme, and there were worms coming from his nose to indicate that the ketores, which is a incense that goes, it smelled. So there were worms through the nose, indicated that was his wrongdoing." The Yesh Omim, others say, B'Tziyaso, actually the moment he left the Kodesh Kedoshim, Nigaf, or actually inside the Kodesh Kedoshim itself, when he turned around to exit, what happened? The Tani, he was Nigaf, he was killed. The Tani, Rabbi Chia, Kimin Kol Nishma Ba'azara, a loud voice came from the Azara, Sheba Malach, a Malach came down from Shemaim, of Chav to Apanav, and squashed him on his face. The Nichnesu Achav HaKwanim, and the Kwanim entered in to find out, Umatu Kakal Kekaf Regel Egel, Bank Seifav. There was an imprint of a cow foot or a calf foot between his shoulders, squashed his head in. Shenemar Raglem Regel Yeshara. The legs of the Malachim are straight. The Kaf Raglem Kekaf Regel Egel, and it had the palm of the foot was like a calf. So a lot of interesting things going on here. So one of the points of why is it a calf? Why an eagle? Why was that the foot? Why was that the punishment? So the Meiri says because this individual is stuki by him listening to another Torah. There's the Torah of the Prushim and the Torah of Tzedukim. It came the impression as if there are two gods, Chas V'Shalom, in the world. So therefore, that reminds us of the Egel Hazav, of two gods. That's why the Meiri says, Dafka and Egel, symbolizing the Egel Hazav. Now, there's an interesting question the Tosfos Sham brings from the Yushalmi. Halachas, we're going to learn this later on in the Masechta as well. But the pasuk tells us when the Kohen Gadol will go into the Kodesh Kedoshim, it says, V'chol Adam lo yeh ba'ol moed, v'vol l'chaper b'kodesh ad seisa. No one's allowed to be not only Kodesh Kedoshim, but not even the Azara, no Kohen could be anywhere near the Kodesh Kedoshim. The Yushalmi says not only a person, but even one who looks like a person. Who looks like a person? A Malach. A Malach apparently has some image like a person. A Malach can't be there either. It asks the question, how can a Malach be killing? How can he kill the Kohen Gadol if he's not allowed to be here? So the answer of the Yushalmi is that since he did the Isser incorrectly, he was allowed to come in and punish him. You're right. Normally, if things were done properly, you're not allowed to. But when it was done incorrectly, the Malach has the right to come in and punish him as he's supposed to. The Maharsha explained that the only issur of a person being in the presence of the Kodesh Kedoshim and Azara at that moment is only when the Kohen Gadol is going inside the Kodesh Kedoshim. But B'Tziyas on the way out, this issur, according to the Maharsha, actually doesn't apply. Okay, fascinating Gemara. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Zechariah ben Kavutal of the Chule. So we had this was the end of the Mishnah on yesterday's daf. It told us that he had many times, he learned about Daniel, because Daniel is a very interesting sefer, and that's how he kept the Kohen Gadol up all night. So the Gemara says, Masi le Rav Chanan bar Rav Rava, Lechia bar Rav Kame di Rava, Amar Rabbi Zecharia ben Kfutal with a pay. Our Mishnah says with a base, and he said with a pay, Kfutal. So during that time, Umach Vilei Rav had made a little sign language, Biyade with his hands, Kvutal. He somehow indicated it was a base, not a pay, it was a base. So he was wrong in pronouncing the name. So Vinei Malei. So why didn't he say it explicit? Why didn't he say kvuta? Why did he have to draw out the bays in the air, b'simanim? So the Gemara says, Meimar kriya shema havakari. He was busy saying shema. So he couldn't talk during shema, so he had to somehow indicate with his fingers it was a bays. V'chi hai gavna mishari. Even that, are you allowed to make any remazim while you're saying shema? V'ha'am Rabbi Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta, hakari is a shema. Lo yirmoz be'inav, a person should not wink or make any messages with his eyes. Below yikot b'sfasav, he shouldn't mouth lip anything. Below yoreb b'sfasav, shouldn't make any points or signs with his fingers. You have to focus on Shema. V'tani Rabbi Elazar chasma omer hakorei Shema u'miramis be'inav. A person who's saying Shema and is blinking his eyes or he's somehow winking his eyes. U'mekaris b'sfasav, he's using his lips to articulate something. U'mara b'sfasav is pointing things out with simanim with his fingers. A love of Kasav Omer, such a person who says Shema and is still doing Ramazim at the same time, it says about the person, Velo Osi Karasa Yaakov, I don't call that person Yaakov, which they say to mean, I don't accept such a Shema, the guy's not paying attention. So how could a Rav, while saying Shema, trying to make a simon of a base, he has to focus on Shema? So Gemara says, Lo Kashya, Habapek Rishon, Habapek Shen. The only reason, the only time we invoke the pasuk of Velo Osi Karasa Yaakov is regarding Perek Rishon, which requires a higher level of Kavanah. And that's where you can be Merameh's Be'etzvosav, Be'einav, when it comes to Perek Sheni, where there's a less of a need of Kavanah, one would be allowed to. So Rav was in the middle of Kriyashma, Parsha Sheni, he couldn't say it, he couldn't articulate the right name Kvutal, but he was able to be Merameh's the Be'ez while reciting Perek Sheni. So Gemara then says further, Taner Abanan Vidibarta, Bam, it says in the pasuk, Bam Velo Betfilah. What does it mean, bam mevlo betfila? So Rashi says, bam, sheyesh lecha lashmiya mashata motzi beficha. When you say Shema, you should be able to hear the words that you're reciting. However, velo betfila, says Rashi, shetfila belachas, you're supposed to daven silently, quietly. Shenamar, shmonesu, exactly. V'kol lo yishma, when it came to Chana when she was davening, her voice was not heard. So kach matzasi b'shiltos, that's what we learn from shiltos. There is a big discussion whether a person should hear it in a whisper or perhaps not at all. The Ramah seems to indicate the person should hear himself, but the person next to him should not hear Shemon Esrei. But the Zohar is very strong language that it should not be heard at all. Even he himself should not hear the whisper. So that's a big discussion within the poskim, but certainly should be a lower volume than that of Shema. So v'dibarta bam, bam v'lo betrila. Another drasha, v'dibarta bam, bam yesh l'chal rishish l'daber, lo b'dvarim acherim. Bam, only with the words of Shema itself, of the first parsha, can you say, but you can't be involved in other matters, other words. That's another drasha that you can't be mafsik during the Perek Rishon. Rebbe Acha Omer, he said, v'dibarta bam is an asei also keva val tasem arai. A person, his Dibarta Bam, his Divrei Torah, says Rashi is referring to Divrei Torah, that should be made Keva. Dibarta Bam sounds like it's set, Kavua, but should not be made Arai. You learn a little bit here, learn a little bit there. No, a person has to have a Sedarim, a set time he goes to Shir, a set time he has a Charusa. Dibarta Bam refers to Kavias in his Limud HaTorah. So then the Gemara says on this topic of speaking words of Torah, speaking words of Tefillah, Amar Rava, Hasech Sichas Chulin, one who speaks Sichas Chulin, which Rashi points out, Sichas Yiladim, V'Kalas Rosh, meaningless conversations, whatever that might be. So that is a person's over be'aseh. He violates an Isser Aseh, or Bitul Aseh. Shenemar says, V'dibarta Bam, one should speak in Limud Torah and Tefillah, Bam V'lo B'dvar Mecheim. So it's a Bitul Aseh for speaking Sichas Chulin. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar, over Balav, not only is a bit to say, but even a lav. What's the lav? Shenemar says in the pasuk, called Varm Yigim Lo Yuchal Ish L'Daber. Yigim is that which exhausts a person, that which doesn't have any benefit for a person. So one who speaks that way, Lo Yuchal Ish L'Daber. A person cannot speak such matters, that would be a lav. So new mission begins now in the bottom here of a New Testament base. Bikesh Lisnam. So right now we're talking about the Kohen Gadol being up all night. We don't want him falling asleep, we don't want him being too much carried. So he's starting to doze off. So what do you do? So they had some techniques to keep the Kohen Gadol up. What were the techniques? So Parchei Kuna, the younger Kohanim, the Pirchei Kuna, had a lot of energy. They would be makin lefano be'etzba treita. We'll see what that means in a second. The Gemara is going to describe, but snapping. They'd snap the fingers. They take the finger and snap it against their palm. They'd snap. So that's one way to keep them up. Vomulo, they tell the Kohen Gadol, Ishe Kohen Gadol, Amud, stand up, wake up, don't fall asleep. V'hafeg, and remove the sleep from your body. achas ala ritzba, they tell them to do something, some type of like push-up they'd have to do, something chiddush of some sort, and they'd in order to get him excited, like a little circus act. And masik and also, they'd continue to engage him all night, whether it's through learning, whether it's through snapping, whether it's through singing, all types of techniques to keep him up all night. Until finally the sun rose and they're able to perform the shechita and they avoid the Yom Kippur. So what does that mean? My tzreda? What's the tzreda? They'd snap his fingers. So Amar Yehuda, tzreda de da. So this one to that one, Rashi says like tzar, like pain. They'd like one finger to the next. Mahi the godel, they'd use the thumb and kind of snap it of some sort. I don't know if it's exactly how we snap, but if you look at Rashi says tzar da da da. Sarasa Shazu, the partners, two fingers next to each other, etzba te tzara lazu, the one should be a pain or a partner of the other one, mahi zu goldel, says Rashi, betz masmuch la goldel, the pointer next to the goldel, hu mechabra, which is its friend, la goldel next to it, mechazaka, vishomta maka gapo, it would hit your palm, v'nishma kol. So it sounds like they would use their pointer and snap on the thumb. I don't know how to do that, I can do my middle finger, I can't do my pointer, but it sounds like the way Rashi's describing the pointer finger, they'd snap of some sort, but same idea. So then the Gemara says, Umach for Rav Huna, when they learn this, Rav Huna showed them how to do a snap, as if they didn't know how to do it. He did a big snap. But also, Kala, and the sound of the snap was so loud, the whole base measure, Rav, or the whole house heard the snap, he knew how to snap. Okay, they'd snap all night, all the Pirchai Kuna, they wake up the Kohen Gadol, so they shouldn't fall asleep. So then the Gemara says, V'omim lo ishe Kohen Gadol, hafeg achas haritpa, they'd say to do something strange to wake him up on the ground. So what would they do? Amar Rav Yitzhak, al-chadas, something chiddush. Something new, something strange. Mahi, what was the strange thing? So Amar Le, Achve Keda. It's some type of bowing down. Rashi explains, Achve Keda, they showed a Keda. Noet Goldav Bart, he kind of put his thumbs in the ground. V'shochi, bend down. V'noshek has that ritz, v'omer, and he like, kissed the flower floor and come back up. Not like he did push-ups using his thumbs, that's what it seems to be indicating here. Something strange, something impressive. I don't know if the Kohen Gadol was doing this or the Pirchei Kuna were doing this, but some type of circus event to keep him engaged. So then the Gemara says, "Masikin also adshegiyas manashchita." Then they'd be involved all night long until he'd stay awake, and finally his manashchita would come. So the Gemara says, "Tana lo hayu masikin also lo beneva v'lo bekinor." They would not use any instruments, not a harp or anything else, to keep him up. El bepet, they'd sing songs also. They have little kumzits all night. Umahayu omer, what would they sing? Im Hashem lo even a bayi shav amay lebona v'bo. Would Hashem built a base mikdash for naught? That shouldn't be used. What was the point of this pasuk that they would sing to him? So Rashi says, last three narrow lines, Rashi says, Im Hashem lo yivna bayis, kolomer hizari bavodascha, be very careful in your voda during the day. Shetei l'shem shemayim, shetei l'ratzon, it should all have the proper kavana, it should be done l'shem shemayim, shem ein ritzui, if it's not accepted by Hashem, ein torchana ola l'klum. So what's the point of the effort? So you're going to do a long day of avoda, but make sure it's l'shem Hashem, it shouldn't be l'shav. So then the Gemara says, Mikirei Yerushalayim, the Chashuvei people from Yerushalayim, the Tamil Chachamim, the older people, so they would come, Lohayu Yeshenim Kol HaLayla, they would not sleep all night, El Leil Yom Kippur. Why? Kedei Sheyishma Kohen Gadol Kol HaVar, they would actually want to hear the sound of the Tamil Chacham, the Kohen Gadol, learn all night, assuming we're in the times of Bais Rishon, or Bais Sheni, the few individuals who were tzaddikim, they wanted to hear them learning. You know, tell about Rav Yashu, when he used to learn in the Ezes Nashim, the doors were locked, but people would go and just listen in to just hear the sounds of the Rav Yashu learning. So these Yikirei Yishayim would come to the Azara, and just to hear the sound of the Kohen Gadol learning all night long. Lo te shena chol tfaso, and they'd be so mesmerized by the sound, they wouldn't fall asleep all night. Tanya, the Brisa says, Abba Shol Omer Af Begvulin Hayu Osen Kain. Even outside, even when there's no longer base of Mikdash, they'd stay up all night learning, Zeich LaMikdash, El Ashi Choten. However, even though they had good intentions, so it did lead to Chait. We have, now our custom is to have Leil Shavuos, people stay up all night, but not every person Zocha to learn all night. People stay up and hang out with boys and girls. Look at Rashi says. Rashi says, El Ashi Choten, the last line of Rashi, Misachin Anashim Anashim. The men and women would play. They'd hang out with each other. Yachad Uban Laver lead to terrible things. So they had good intentions initially, but Lamaisa, not everyone has those kochos. Not everybody has that proper self control. So Amar Bai says, V'itayim Adasay Rav Nachman Yitzchak Taguma Naharda Darmalei Eliyahu LeRav Yehuda. One time Eliyahu appeared to Rav Yehuda. Achu the Rav Sala Chasida, the brother of Rav Sala. Amisay, he says, Rav Yehuda, you're always asking the question. Amai Lo Asa Mashiach. Why is Mashiach not coming? That's a question you're always asking. Eliyahu says, I'll tell you why he's not coming. Now it's Yom Kippur. Who? V'bal kama b'sulasa b'narda. Narda, there are men and women who are with each other. That's, and you're asking the question, why is Mashiach not coming? I'll tell you, that's a good reason why he's not coming. So Amar Le'Kadosh Baruch Hu, my. So he says, what's Akadosh Baruch Hu saying? My Amar. So he asks Eliyahu Navi, what, like last night Rav Weinberger said, when you meet Eliyahu Navi, what's Akadosh Baruch Hu doing now? What's Akadosh Baruch Hu saying right now? So he asks Eliyahu, what's Akadosh Baruch Hu saying about these events that are taking place? So Amar Le'Kadosh Baruch Hu, so Akadosh Baruch Hu says in defense of Klal Yisrael, fascinating, right? Same thing last night Rav Weinberger says, Akadosh Baruch Hu wants us to figure out a reason why we are actually, we're not doing anything wrong. So what does Akadosh Baruch Hu say? He says, L'pesa chatas rovitz. We can't help it. We're human beings. The Yetzer Hara is always trying to get us. The Satan's always trying to get us. So therefore, I don't blame them so much, it seems. So Rashi says, L'pesach hadas rovitz, Yetzer Hara machtil ba'karchol. They have no chance. They have no choice in the matter. So Akash Baruch, of course, he's upset. But either way, this is a defense somehow. So Satan, my Amar. So what's the Satan saying? So Satan, he's doing the wrong thing. The Satan should be punished for being machti klaiso. So Amar Lei, the Satan says in my Amar, Amar Lei, Satan biyoma de kippura, les lei reshusa listani. The Satan's not involved here, actually. The Satan has no right to be involved in Yom Kippur. Why not? Me, my. So Amar Rami Berchamel, Hasatan, the Gemachi is plas mea, the shisin varba habe. The Gemachi of Hasatan is 364, one of the few Gemachis that appear in Gemara itself, actually. But it says it's 364, not 365. Now, the another question is, we know there are two calendars, lunar calendars, 354. This is going based on the 365 calendar. One of the explanations, I assume, is that since the Satan comes from the Sitra Achra, so we recognize there's a Christian calendar, which is 365, so the Jewish calendar is 354. So Satan somehow works for the Umas Olam, so that's why it's working within the calendar of 365. Either way, the Gematria is only 364. Why? Because he only has the rights to work on 364 days of the year. One day the Satan has a right to work. Which day is that? Tlas mea v'shisin arba yome eslei reshusel l'estune. V'yome de Kippur, one day of the year, Yom Kippur, lesei reshusel l'estune. So in the end of the day, the Gemara doesn't really conclude. It sounds like there's no good reason. I mean, the Satan's not working. The only reason why they're doing things that are wrong is because they're designed to make the wrong decisions. And that's the reason why Eliyahu says, Mashiach has not yet come. So let's quickly recap what we did today. We started off talking about the two different Lishkos, Lishkos Parhedrin, Lishkos Beis Haftinos. One was to the north, one was to the south. We brought the Mishnahs to prove these points. We weren't sure exactly which was to the north, which was to the south, but the Gemara was inclined to say that Lishkos Parhedrin was in the north and Beis Haftinos was in the south in order to make the Kohen Gadol work harder, either to admit that he's a Tzaduki or to make him to humble him that he shouldn't be such a bad guy, but that he's the Kohen Gadol. Then we discussed the Shluch of the Rachmaninu, that Machlokes, and even though Beis Din says you should be our Shliach, that doesn't mean the formal Shliach, but it simply means you should make a Shvuah based on our Das, not based on your Das. Then we explained why they cried after the Shvuah, because the Choshev Ksheirim, and then about the mice of the Tzaduki who actually one time did this, and he was killed. Either he died and the worms were going through his nose, or he squashed by the Malach with a calf imprint on his head. And then the discussion about Zechariah ben Kvutal versus Kvutal, Rav is making the little Ramazim during Shema, during Perek Rishon, you're not allowed to, Perek Sheni, you are allowed to make Ramazim, B'dibar Tebam, you should speak of Torah, but not, rather, Torah, but not Shema, not Shemoneh Esrei, you should be silent, you should be Keva in your learning, and it should be Arai, and then a person should not be, speak Sichas Chulim, and then finally the Mishnah, that when the Kohen Gadol would fall asleep, we wake him up by either snapping, by singing songs or by making him do push-ups and the different techniques to keep him up, and the Yikir Yishlaim would stay up all night to listen to the Kohen Gadol sing, and then the Bizman after Beis HaMikdash, people would try to replicate staying up all night learning, but it didn't turn out very good because they're involved in Averis. Everyone have a wonderful day, I guess a good Yontif and a good Erev Shabbos.